We don't give our criminals much punishment, but we sure give them plenty of publicity. Will Rogers. Good evening, and welcome back to Snell Nation. I wanted to touch on this, just another epidemic. I guess you could maybe even call it a pandemic in itself, but the elevation of criminals, and the focus is on the elevation of black criminals in this country, in the United States. Now, I touched on this. I talked about it a little bit throughout 2020 as one after the next. I mean, there were all these pretty much any incident where someone was shot by the police and the person shot was black, and the officer that fired was white. It was turned into, it got sucked into that overarching agenda, you know, that cops are, you know, they're racist and are out there hunting, you know, poor defenseless black men on their way to church or to the grocery store or something. You know, they got to make it always sound innocent. But, you know, I looked into every single incident, 2019, 2020. Every single time there was something, there were these odd coincidences. There were a lot of parallels that one could easily draw between a lot of these individuals. And the when you look into that, the agenda becomes quite obvious. And the purpose that these individuals serve, I mean, sadly, that their life is served this quote unquote greater good. But just a few of the big cases, the ones that, you know, caught my attention. And I'll start out first with Jacob Blake. Now, this one was in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I'm sure some of you remember that incident where this individual had a warrant for his arrest for sexual assault. Now, of course, Snopes jumped on and did a fact check because someone said, oh no, he sexually assaulted a minor. And Snopes and some other people stepped in. No, that is not true. Completely false. He sexually assaulted an adult woman because, yeah, that's completely different. That's false. What you said was, you know, yeah, okay. So that makes it better. I don't know. But here, so he had a warrant for his arrest for sexually assaulting a woman. He also had several other misdemeanors and some other things on his record. The police, there was plenty of footage that showed where the police really took their time with this guy, and he kept resisting, you know, wouldn't stay down, wouldn't let them put the handcuffs on, kept resisting, kept moving around. Then he just tries to ignore the cops and go back to his car. There was a knife involved in his situation as well, and just goes back to his car, just like no big deal. And he gets shot by the police. Now, this guy receives just all these accolades, all this praise. You know, he even got to talk to, when she was a VP candidate, but Kamala Harris called him directly, along with presidential candidate Joe Biden. And they gave all their condolences, all these, you know, all the sweet talking and all that good stuff. And then the media played their part where they just kept showing only certain pieces of the video, which that was the trend of 2020, where, you know, they show you a video and they'll say, oh, it's graphic and it's this and it's that. And it's like a dream. Like, you don't get to see the beginning. You rarely get to see the end. You just get to see just enough, just what they want you to see. Oh, look what that cop did. Can you believe that? You know, that poor defenseless, you know, and then you had all the signs, justice for Jacob Blake, all that kind of stuff. Even though this, you know, like a lot of these cases, the person either committed a crime, is a career criminal, was in the process of committing a crime, or already committed the crime and was fleeing when a lot of these things happen. But that, you know, hey, that doesn't matter. You know, justice for Jacob Blake. So that was case number one. Case number two. This was Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta, Georgia. Now this guy, you know, he was a little inebriated, was belligerent with police. And of course, as more and more body footage came out about this incident, it showed that he was resisting and the police went to handcuff him. And he fought with them, punched one of them in the face, took the taser from another one, you know, was running from the police and looked back and pointed the taser. And it was pointed, you know, above the neck. So if he would have fired this thing, it would have hit the officer in the face and the guy gets shot. You know, what's the response? You know, unarmed black man killed by these white police officers that are just out there hunting our fine, you know, handsome black men, our highly educated, friendly, sophisticated, you know, Greenpeace loving. They love to recycle. You know, the media just pulls whatever they can, you know, which is why they have to dig way back like 20, 30 years to find a photo where they're not throwing up gang signs or anything like that or holding a gun in a profile picture. So, you know, they play this game where they dress it up as, hey, this person's a victim. Then you see the footage and people in Atlanta, there were still riots. And then there was an attempt to establish their own little autonomous zone or whatever, because that was the thing at the time after what happened in Seattle. And a kid gets shot. I think there were two shootings and a little girl got murdered. I believe she was 7 years old. And no one made a big deal about that. Now, the mayor stepped up because she had no choice because of what happened. But still, there was still this justice for Rayshard Brooks, you know, and these cops need to, I mean, it was unbelievable the way these police officers were railroaded and just burned. I mean, it was, you know, the system is there. And a lot of people can say the system is broken, it's corrupt, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, sure. But it's a far better system than the system of just, you know, mob rule, mob mentality, which is what we got in 2020. And we're getting a little bit of it still in 2021, where people are just going crazy. And each time one of these makeshift autonomous zones was thrown together, someone got killed. I think there was three deaths when they had the little setup in Seattle where they just allowed them to take over a section of their downtown area or whatever. And then you had this incident in Atlanta, you know, and this guy, I mean, he was on probation for four crimes. One of them is cruelty to children. You know, I don't understand. Now, yeah, someone's past should not dictate their future, but someone's past tends to enlighten you as to what the future could hold for them. And in this case, this person was on the path of just continuing to be a bit of a blight to those around them, or a bit of a danger to their community, you know. And yes, you know, I feel like I always have to add this disclaimer. It was the same thing last year when I talked about these cases. You know, I'm of course not, you know, trying to justify the way things played out for them in these situations, but if we're going to be intellectually honest, if we're just going to lay it all out there, there's certain ways you live your life and certain choices you make that can increase your probability of success. There are certain choices that you can make that can increase your probability of having a negative encounter with the police or getting arrested or getting shot and fighting with cops, you know, while having a warrant for your arrest like Jacob Blake, or like having, you know, being on probation and being intoxicated in a Wendy's parking lot and then fighting with the cops and trying to shoot one in the face with his own taser. I'd say that raises your probability of getting shot or beat down by some police officers. That raises it pretty high. And that's very relevant. But not to our mainstream media, not to our politicians. You know, they got to gather votes. They need to make some money, you know, and this was just another opportunity. And, you know, the final little case here, of course, is the crown jewel, George Floyd, who was killed by a former police officer, Derek Chauvin, who, you know, hey, look at that. The justice system works. You know, he was convicted, and I believe his sentencing is in 2 weeks. And for those who want to, you know, make it seem like this is race, I mean, there was no sign at all that race had anything to do with this. But the media and the corrupt politicians and those special interests, they made it seem as though race had something to do with it. Why? You know, how did they come to that conclusion? Well, Derek Chauvin's white and George Floyd's black. That's it. That's it. That's the only connection. The same thing with what happened with Jacob Blake. The same thing with Rayshard Brooks. The same thing with, there's plenty of cases, you know. And with, you know, George Floyd, you know, he had over 9 arrests. Most of them had to deal with drugs, theft. One that dealt with armed robbery, where he held someone hostage in their house, a woman in her house, while his friends robbed her home, you know. But you can't say that. You can't talk about that kind of stuff because it's irrelevant, you know. And this was the big one, which is why I saved it for last, where it just got everyone in a tailspin from coast to coast. And of course, there was video footage of what happened to him, you know, in HD from like 15 different angles. And of course, the media on the media on the left, especially. And on the right, I mean, they were just playing this to death. The politicians were talking this up, and they just would not shut up about it. So people thought, like, oh, this is just some unique thing. And, you know, it's incredibly horrific. Yes, incredibly horrific, but not unique. There was an incident that happened before this involving a Tony Tempa. And he was white, and he died. And there was little response, little action or anything that was taken on his behalf. There were no protests, nothing like that. He had a knee on his neck and he died while being mocked and laughed at by those terrible police officers. But no one cared. You know, for every George Floyd or Rayshard Brooks or whatever, I can give you about 300 others, you know, involving someone that was white or Hispanic, you know. But that's not the flavor. That's not what's going on right now. This is all about, apparently, black criminals seems to be the focus here. Black on white, you know, that seems to be the thing. But what bothers me the most about this, you know, all the destruction, oh yeah, definitely. Billions and billions of dollars in damage. For what, exactly? Then you have dozens of people that died, you know, in the midst of rioting, looting, and protesting over the death of one guy, a career criminal drug addict. Yeah, how does that make sense? You know, but you have all, you know, all that craziness going on, and you have these politicians that just, I mean, we saw it, you know, with members of Congress, you know, out there, you know, and they're kneeing and putting, you know, taking a knee down and putting their fist up. And you even had people like Mitt Romney out there, you know, marching with people and, you know, this needs to stop and yada, yada, yada. Which, I mean, none of it's genuine. I mean, there's so many staged photos and staged videos and all that good stuff. But all that aside, what motivated me to do this particular podcast was seeing and I saw some different murals that went up all over the country last year, and there were plenty for George Floyd with angel wings, that kind of stuff. But there was one in particular that had him, and I'm going to add it to the podcast art here once I publish this. But it had Malcolm X and Martin Luther King side by side with George Floyd in the middle. And when I saw that, I had to ask, you know, why? Like, what is the connection? You know, what does that say about our culture when that's the status? That's how far we'll elevate a career criminal. That's how far we'll elevate someone who showed themselves to be potentially a menace to their community or menace to society in general. And we'll elevate that person and give them that status of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And there were people that even when they would talk about the plight of the black man and they would mention names, I don't understand why his name would get rolled in there. And it just made me think about that. Like when, and then people were even talking about sainthood, you know, Saint Floyd this or Saint Floyd that. And it's just like, have you lost your minds? You know, what is this doing for the next generation or the next few generations? You know, my mother, you know, her generation, they had, you know, Martin Luther King, they had, you know, Malcolm X, and they had all these prominent figures, you know, history, just pure history, people to look up to, and they can see their speeches, they can see their impacts and the things they did and all their passion and their crusades and all that good stuff. And now that we're elevating all these black criminals to that same status, you know, what will my daughter's daughter, you know, what will she have, or her son, you know, what will they have, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years into the future when they look back and they look back at the 2020s and the key figures, you know, that were all over the newspaper or all over the internet were black criminals that were mostly killed by the police after committing a crime, in the middle of committing a crime, or immediately after committing a crime, that have, you know, mile-long criminal records and that kind of stuff. And you have these criminals. I mean, we've got, you know, hey, let's just roll with this about making it everything about race, but there are plenty of black educators and entrepreneurs and, you know, inventors and or just hardworking blue-collar individuals that deserve, I would say, a lot more press and attention than a Jacob Blake or a Rayshard Brooks or a George Floyd. And in George Floyd's case, his family became multimillionaires overnight. I mean, literally, I mean, all the donations that came in, 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, just tons of that. And I watched all that, I saw some of the highlights of the funeral because it was on every channel. It was hard to get away from it. It was all over the place, all over YouTube and everything. The funeral of a king, and then I think he had multiple, I think he had three ceremonies or something. And then there was even a ceremony where, I believe it was Joe Biden, gave his family this commemorative folded flag. And typically that's given to the bereaved family members of fallen soldiers. And that was another moment where I saw that and I just thought, you've got to be kidding me. This is madness. You know, but hey, you can't say too much about it. You know, I've already said too much where I'm sure someone will look or listen and they'll think, you know, oh, I can't believe, you know, this guy, and how can he talk about this person in this way? And, you know, it's not personal. It's just, I'm just looking at all the facts and everything that happened throughout 2020 and 2021 and pointing out there are a lot of patterns, a lot of connections, and it's not hard to spot. But of course, with this culture we live in, this PC cancel culture where, you know, we can't do things like, I don't know, follow the money. We can't ask too many questions. We can't talk about things that go outside of the approved spectrum of opinions. You know, we have to stay within this bubble. Otherwise, you'll be chastised or you'll be ostracized or isolated, or you might even lose your job depending on the circumstances, you know, especially if you're white, unfortunately, which is sad. It's a sad truth today. And that's something else. We can't even talk about that openly without somebody getting all worked up, even though that's the reality. You know, the things that I've said, no straight white conservative male could get away with saying that, you know, and that speaks volumes to just how broken our culture, our society, our institutions, our hierarchy, all that stuff, just how broken it is. The fact that you can have people screaming about, you know, racial inequality and social justice and all those things and lack any self-awareness to the point where they can't see that they themselves are being incredibly racist, being bigoted, pushing for concepts like segregation, you know, and racism, you know, I call it sanctioned racism, where, you know, it just seems to be, it's okay, it's acceptable, you know, it's like, it's an inverse, you know, it's the 1930s, but, you know, it was acceptable to be racist towards blacks, whereas now it's acceptable to be incredibly bigoted and racist towards whites, you know, and people just shrug their shoulders to it and chalk it up to, I don't know, legacy of slavery, Jim Crow, or whatever other empty relic from the past that they want to keep alive and hang on to and hoist up as the crown, like, hey, this is why we're so broken, this is our excuse, when no. So I'm sorry, that dog don't hunt, as I like to say. So we've witnessed this elevation, we witnessed this pseudo sainthood of some of these criminals, and we just have to wait, unfortunately, for the storm to pass, and maybe for enough people to wake up and see, you know, maybe we shouldn't immortalize people that have committed sexual assaults, people that have robbed people, you know, or committed cruel acts against children, you know, regardless of their skin color. I mean, well, that person's a monster, so they deserve no type of accolades or special treatment. Well, their families probably, you know, shouldn't get millions and millions of dollars, but if people are, you know, that wacky to just throw away money like that, to be so easily emotionally manipulated, then I guess that's just the way it works out. It's incredibly unfortunate, just the path this society has taken, but, you know, this is where we are. So, just some of my thoughts. You know, I'm curious to hear what you guys think out there in the real world. So please feel free to drop me a message on the Anchor app or through Apple Podcasts with a review, or catch me on LinkedIn. I also set up a little Instagram page for the Snail Nation. So I'll start to put some things on there as well. So just thanks for listening, and please keep your eyes open, your ears open, and your mind active. And with that, Snail Nation out.